From the WGXC Newsroom, this is The Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news from Friday, February 24th through Sunday, February 26th. I'm Philip Grant. Rosa Atchison reported in the Register Star that a severe storm felled wires and trees throughout Greene and Columbia counties on Saturday, February the 25th. The Greene County Sheriff's Office received six or seven reports of downed trees and wires before 7 p.m., including one account of a tree going through a house in Lexington. No one was injured in the incident. In Columbia County, power outages were reported in Kinderhook, Stuyvesant, and Livingston. The last of those outages was expected to be restored by early Sunday evening. The Daily Freeman reported that as of Sunday afternoon, Central Hudson crews were busy at work addressing 170 active outages affecting more than 6,000 customers in the Mid-Hudson region. The utility said most customers would have their power back by Sunday night. During the storm, power was lost to a total of 32,000 Central Hudson customers. Ulster County was the hardest hit with 17,000 outages, followed by Dutchess County with 7,500 and 4,000 in Orange County. Victoria Addison is reporting in the Daily Mail that U.S. Representative John Faso made a stop at a lumber treatment facility in Athens on Friday, February the 24th. The rookie Republican congressman from Kinderhook has been under fire for his refusal to hold town hall meetings with constituents during the House February break. He visited Northeast Treaters of New York, a company that manufactures pressure-treated lumber, for more than an hour, said Robert Collette, the company's general manager. The Treated Wood Council, a K Street-based lobbying group for the treated wood industry, facilitated Faso's visit on Friday. Collette said Faso took a tour of the Athens facility and learned about the company's history and its goals. Collette said, and I quote, "I think it, the visit, went very well," end quote. On Friday, Faso also attended an educational board meeting with the Times Herald of Middletown, held two constituent meetings, and met with state officials in Albany to discuss Medicaid. Faso was a no-show at the unofficial town hall meeting organized by Citizens Action in Kingston on Friday evening. The Daily Freeman estimated 600 people turned out for the event, filling a school auditorium and leaving others on the street. Activists at the meeting wrote out postcards to Faso in light of his absence. Faso's 19th Congressional District predecessor, Democrat Scott Murphy, and Republican Chris Gibson regularly held local town hall meetings during their terms. Rick Carlin reported at Capital Confidential that State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli on Friday, February the 24th, issued reports on spending, revenue, and student enrollment numbers during the 10-year period from 2005 to 2015 for schools located outside of New York City. Spending during that period rose by an average of 1.4% per year, and statewide per pupil spending was $22,658. While spending was up, the number of students enrolled in schools outside of New York City fell 7.6%. The four-year graduation rate in 2014-15 was 86%, with some regional variation. Among those graduates, the number who received a Regents or Advanced Regents diplomas increased 11 percentage points since the 2004-2005 school year. Lorna Chirot Littleway reported in the Columbia paper that a recent study by the Town of Hillsdale Broadband Committee has raised concerns about the Federal Communications Commission's data on local internet service. Committee Chair Todd Wolfarth said in a recent meeting of the town board, the state's broadband for all programs uses data provided by the FCC, which could be erroneous. As a result, Hillsdale could easily lose out when funds for service upgrades are distributed by the state. In Phase 1 of the Broadband for All program, the state awarded $54 million to expand service in Columbia County. Wolfarth said internet provider Fairpoint Communication has not shared information with the committee about how much it requested or what areas will be targeted. Fairpoint did not apply for Phase 1 money, but has applied for part of Phase 2. Phase 2 awards were expected to be announced in late January and have now been delayed. Wolfar said the current maps, and I quote, "need to be fixed," end quote, to make sure Hillsdale gets fully wired. Brendan Lyons reports in the Times Union that two Ohio attorneys said Hoosick Falls officials may be misleading the public into thinking the two PFOA litigators have reviewed or endorsed a proposed settlement between the village and two companies blamed for polluting the community's water supply. Two Cincinnati lawyers, D. David Altman and Robert A. Bellott, have led groundbreaking court cases involving toxic chemical. Hoosick Falls Deputy Mayor Rick DiDonato said in a Facebook post this week that the village's legal team spoke with Altman and Bellott, and I quote, and many other legal experts to get their opinions on the development of this agreement throughout the process, end quote. But the two attorneys said the deputy mayor's claims are false. Altman said he was contacted by Hoosick Falls residents, and I quote, who tell me that some officials and others are saying or implying that I have received and voiced support of a possible PFOA settlement involving the village. I have done no such thing, end quote. Bellott also denied he has received or approved the settlement proposal. In a related story, Lyons reported U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is urging the village board to table the matter. Gillibrand said in a letter to Borge that she has some serious concerns about the terms of the agreement, believing the terms stipulated, and I quote, are not in the best interest of the residents of the village of Hoosick Falls, end quote. That letter will be delivered to the village board before a special meeting today, Monday, February 27th, when the board is expected to consider the proposal. The $1.4 million proposed agreement is the result of negotiations between the village and St. Gobain Performance Plastics and Honeywell International. Both companies have operated the manufacturing plants blamed for polluting the village's well fields. Finally, Roger Hannigan Gilson reported in the Register Star that data generated and collected by Columbia County 911 between July 2015 and July 2016 was cross-referenced with traffic volume data from the State Department of Transportation and, and I quote, road lengths, end quote, to produce the paper's list of Columbia County's, and I quote, most dangerous roads, end quote, released on Saturday, February the 25th. At the top of the list, Route 82 between Livingston Road and the Taconic State Parkway, followed by Route 23 approaching Taconic State Parkway from the west at number 2. Fish and Game Road was third, followed by 203 between Valencia and Chatham at number 4, and Fairview Avenue in Greenport, rounding out the list at number 5. Jocelyn Boulevard, erroneously identified as Jocelyn Avenue in Greenport, received an honorable mention. Today is day 13 of the WGXC Radical Radio 2017 Winter Pledge Drive. WGXC must raise $20,000 to keep WGXC hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's green and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny day for today with a temperature high near 54 degrees. For Monday night, a slight chance of snow showers after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 10 a.m., then a slight chance of rain showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 56 degrees. For Tuesday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 47. And on Wednesday, showers are likely with thunderstorms also possible after 1 p.m. It will be cloudy with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, showers are likely again, mainly before 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 40. Sunrise today was at 6:31 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:44 p.m. That will give us 11 hours and 12 minutes of daylight, 2.5 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 27th day of February, 2017. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.